Oh, goodness. It's good to be here. Amen. Thank God for a beautiful day and for your presence. Have you found your place in Philippians chapter 3?
Amen.
Now, how many of you have your driver's license? How many of you want to get a driver's license? The rest of you. You know, I got my driver's license when I was 14 years old. I was raised on a farm, and I was the only son, and the county judge had to sign off on it so I could get it on a hardship basis because of helping my dad on the farm. But I thought it was a big thing.
Amen.
When I got my driver's license. Now, I've said all of that for a purpose.
Amen.
Open your Bible in Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to begin to read in verse number 1. We're going to read the 21 verses of this chapter.
Amen.
Paul said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." Paul's talking about himself now. "Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those things, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if any man be ye otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is even, are able even to subdue all things unto himself." Now I want to speak to you this morning from this chapter on this subject, a biblical gauge of spiritual maturity. a biblical gauge of spiritual maturity. When we first get saved, we are babes in Christ.
Yep.
Then if we're what we ought to be or supposed to be, we begin to grow. And as we grow, we're growing toward that stage of maturity. Now, I've said all of that to say this. A lot of people think they're grown up in the Lord when really they're still babes. A lot of people are hung up in one area of spiritual growth and are not growing on to spiritual maturity. If a child never grew and developed to maturity, we would say there was something seriously wrong with that child. And when Christians don't grow on to maturity, there's something spiritually wrong in our heart and in our life for God. Now, I asked you about your driver's license. Boy, I thought it was a big thing when I started driving. I really did. But, you know, I wasn't a good driver. I was just starting out. A 14-year-old boy may be able to drive a tractor in the field, but driving a car in the city of Dallas is something else. Thank God I lived on a farm down in East Texas in a place called Myrtle Springs. So I didn't have to contend with city traffic. But I've learned some things. My daddy told me, said, now, if you're going to be a serious driver, then there are several things about the automobile that you must check and do regularly. He told me you must keep a close check on all the fluid levels in the automobile.
Yep.
Make sure the coolant is always there. We never had an automobile that didn't use oil, so you had to keep a close check on the motor oil. Brake fluids and transmission fluids and windshield washer fluids and, of course, gasoline. That serious driver must also check the air pressure in the tires, including the spare tire. There's nothing worse than needing a spare tire and it being flat. Now, to do that, you've got to have an air gauge.
Yep.
Air pressure is measured in PSI, or pressure per square inch. The pressure requirements for your automobile tires varies from 25 PSI to 42 PSI, depending on the type of tire you have. Now, pressure varies in your tires with outside temperature. You didn't know driving was so complicated, did you? For instance, the higher the temperature, the hotter, the greater the PSI will be in your tires. It varies. The lower the temperature, the lower the PSI. That's the reason one day you're driving and your tire temperature is fine. I mean, your tire pressure is fine. And a cold front comes through during the night and you get up and go get in your car and the little gauge said, check such and such tire, low pressure or low tire. Because the PSI lowered with the cooler temperature. Isn't it amazing how much you learn about driving when you come to church? Now, the correct PSI in the tire affects the operational safety of the tire.
Yep.
Now, that's the reason it's important. The correct PSI is necessary to get the best gas mileage from your automobile. Now, I've said all of that to say that you have to check these things regularly. And if a person is a serious Christian, he'll want to check regularly his level of spiritual maturity and productivity. Christians also get spiritually overflated and become hot or cold.
Yes,
it's easy for Christians to deceive themselves into thinking that they're okay when in truth they may be backslidden in heart.
Yes, sir.
Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Isn't it amazing how we justify the things we do as okay?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, God said that's the way it is with a fool, a backslidden fool.
Yep.
We justify ourselves because it's right in our own eyes. But we've got to be concerned about what's right in God's eyes. Proverbs 14:14 says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. We're more concerned about what we want than what he wants. Now, the Apostle Paul gives to the Philippian Christians some Bible truths for them to use to see and to gauge their spiritual maturity. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, the spiritually mature Christians have learned to put no confidence in the flesh.
Amen.
The spiritually mature Christians have learned to put no confidence in the flesh. Verse 3 says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." In 1986, when I was called to pastor Trinity Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas, all the little bus kids made a little card to welcome the new pastor. And I went home and I sat down and I began to read these little cards made by bus kids. And all they all said, "Welcome to Trinity. It's good to have you as our new pastor." But one little girl wrote her card, and it was different than all the rest. She said, "Dear new preacher, I've only got one thing to say. Don't trust the devil."
Amen.
And I thought, my soul, that little girl's a prophet. Don't trust the devil. And I say to you, don't trust the flesh. The spiritually mature Christian does not trust the flesh. Paul warns Philippian Christians to have no confidence in the flesh. Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 41, "The flesh is weak." Paul said in Romans 7:18 that in his flesh dwelleth no good thing. Now this is the Apostle Paul saying that in his flesh dwelleth no good thing. In Romans 8, verse 8, the Bible says, "They that are in the flesh cannot please God."
Right.
You see, God wants us to understand that the flesh will lie. It'll lust. It'll fornicate.
Yep.
It'll hate.
Yes, sir.
It'll murder. And in general is wicked and evil.
Yeah.
Theologically, where this old body of flesh is totally sinful,
right,
totally depraved.
Yes, sir.
Now these spiritually mature Christians allow the Holy Spirit to rule over their life and not the flesh. Now let me ask you, having any trouble with the flesh?
Yeah.
You'll never get to the place in your Christian life where you don't have trouble with the flesh.
Right, yeah.
Every day we'll battle against the flesh.
Right, yeah.
It doesn't make any difference if you're a teenager or you're 76 years old like I am. You struggle with the flesh.
Yes, sir.
The world pulls at the flesh.
Yep.
The world tempts the flesh. And that's the reason Paul tells us, and he's writing the Philippian Christians and us, reminding us that we must put no confidence in the flesh. Spiritually mature Christians don't put confidence in the flesh. Now, after you've been saved a little while, you'll get to the place where you begin to think, if you're not careful, "Well, I'm pretty good. I'm saved. And those things that other people do is not so bad if I do them. After all, it's me. I'm saved." You see, we know from the Bible, we cannot sin without facing judgment and sorrow and heartache.
That's right.
Sin and sorrow go together.
Yes, sir.
But the old flesh will get to the place where it tells us, "You're different.
Uh-huh.
You can sin and get by with it. It's not so bad. After all, it's you that's doing it." But the spiritually mature Christian puts no confidence
Amen.
In the flesh. Now, you want to gauge for your spiritual maturity? How much confidence are you putting in the flesh? Do you realize this old flesh is sinful? This old flesh is wicked. When you got saved, your soul was saved and your spirit was made alive.
Yep. Amen.
But we're a trichotomy.
Yep.
We're a body, we're a soul and a spirit in a body.
Yep.
And when we got saved, this body didn't get saved.
Nope.
The body won't be saved until we're raptured
Amen.
And we're given a glorified body like unto the resurrected body of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Then we won't have problems
That's
with the
right.
flesh.
Amen.
But until then, every day of our life, we'll battle with the flesh. Some days are worse than others.
Amen.
But every day, the old devil and the world will pull against our flesh,
yep.
trying to get us to come over their way.
Yep.
The Holy Spirit pulls us toward God, trying to
Amen.
Get us to walk with God and live according to the Word of God.
Amen.
And every Christian in here this morning is walking either after the flesh or after the Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's right.
The spiritually mature Christian puts no confidence in the flesh. Secondly,
Amen.
Spiritually mature Christians are continuously learning and growing.
Amen.
Learning and growing. A family came in a while ago, and that young man, a little blonde-headed boy about this tall, came over and greeted me and said hello, and then Brother Fogg's daughter had another one about that long, and they came over, and I could see in the little one that he resembled his brother. And I said, oh, this is your brother, isn't it? And he said, yes, sir. Well, you know, there's two things about those two kiddos. Their little mind absorbs everything. They're learning and learning and growing physically.
Yeah.
Well, we're to be that way spiritually also if we're a child of God.
Amen.
And a spiritually mature Christian never gets to the place where he does not stop learning and growing. When something stops growing, it starts dying.
Yeah.
When we stop learning, then we start going the other direction. A spiritually mature Christian constantly is learning and growing.
Amen.
Listen to the Word of God in verse 10, 11, 12, and 13. Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, let me remind you that the writer of this is the Apostle Paul. At this time, he has been taught by Christ Himself for 3 years in the backside of the Arabian desert. You can read about that in Galatians 1. He was taught by Barnabas. Barnabas took him under his wing and taught him from the time he was saved and on, and all the way up through their first missionary journey. Barnabas was with him.
Yep.
And this Apostle Paul, in his day, evangelized the known world.
Yep.
God used him to write 14 books in this New Testament.
Amen.
Now, listen to what I'm saying. Still, he had a yearning to know more about
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Still, he continued to study and read and write, even though at this time he was in prison.
Yep.
Listen to him in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. Now, writing from prison, he says, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books," but especially the parchments. Now, Paul is saying, I want to continue to read and study and learn and grow.
Amen.
Now, how do we learn and grow? We learn and grow by hearing. We learn and grow by seeing others who are walking with God.
Amen.
We learn and grow by yielding ourselves to take that step of faith to do the will of God.
Amen.
Remember these little babies when they begin to grow, the first thing they do is they begin to turn over.
Yeah.
Then before you know it, one day they're crawling, look like a little tadpole swimming across the floor.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, they're setting up.
Uh-huh.
And then they're pulling up.
Yep.
And then they begin to take that first step, wobbly as it may be. Hey, that's the way it is in our Christian life.
Man.
We don't get saved and suddenly every day know everything about the Bible. We don't get saved and suddenly take a giant step of faith to go and evangelize the world on the second day of our salvation.
Nope.
It's a process of learning and growing.
Yep.
Learning and growing. Learning and growing. And we're never going to learn and grow until we learn to take that first step of faith.
Amen.
Now, if you've already taken that when you came to trust Jesus as your Savior.
Yep.
But that's not the end of it. God wants you to learn and grow in your Christian life. And when we take that step of faith, we're going to be a little bit shaky. But God's always there to steady us, and His Word's always there to steady us.
Amen.
And we need to continue to learn and grow. We need to continue to push our Christian life. Now, I can look at this crowd, and I know there's not a lot of bodybuilders in here. But if a person's going to strengthen his body and his muscles, or her body and her muscles, they have to do several things. They have to exercise. They have to eat right. They have to lift weights. They have to push their body beyond where it's been if they're going to develop more or new muscle mass.
Yeah.
No pain, no gain.
Yep.
And so it is in our Christian life. If we're going to grow beyond where we are now, then we've got to push ourselves to take that step of faith beyond where we are now.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about a giant step of faith. I'm not talking about doing something a spiritually mature Christian. When Peter said, "Lord, if you'll beckon me, I'll walk to you on the water," he was not a baby Christian.
Nope.
Now, we fault old Peter and we criticize him for getting out there and looking at the boisterous waves and sinking.
Uh-huh.
But we ought not.
Amen.
Because the Bible says he walked on the water.
Right.
Have you ever walked on the water? Huh? But Peter at least pushed himself to the place where he put his feet out and got them wet.
Amen.
And he walked on the water. I don't know how far, but the Bible says he walked on the water.
Amen.
Now, everybody else was still in the boat.
Uh-huh.
And I guarantee you, Peter grew from that experience.
Amen.
You know, when I started out giving to missions in Faith Promise, you know where I started? $3 a week. I was a preacher. But I'd never been taught about Faith Promise.
Yeah.
$3 a week. I don't give $3 a week anymore. My Faith Promise giving, if all I gave was my tithe, my Faith Promise exceeds my tithe.
Amen.
But I had to begin to take that first step of faith. I'm talking about a biblical gauge of spiritual maturity. The spiritually mature Christian puts no confidence in the flesh, and the spiritually mature Christian learns and grows throughout his Christian life.
Amen.
What's new in your spiritual growth lately? Can you see yourself having grown beyond where you were last year at this time? Oh, what a terrible thing if you're here and you're saved and you're either like you were last year at this time or you've gone backwards. You don't stand still. If you're not learning and growing, then you're going backwards. And that's called backsliding. It's not pleasing to God. It's not being right with God. Here, the Apostle Paul had a yearning after all of these years to continue to learn and grow. Paul was nearing the end of his ministry here. It was not long until they was going to lay his neck on the chopping block and cut off his head. And he's had a yearning in his heart to continue to learn and grow and know more about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now let me ask you, are you satisfied with your spiritual level of growth? Are you satisfied with your spiritual maturity? Spiritually mature Christians put no confidence in the flesh, and spiritually mature Christians continue to learn and grow throughout their Christian life.
Amen. Amen.
I learned something this week. I've been preaching now for 52 years. This August will be 52 years.
Amen.
I've been a Christian for 62 years. And I learned something this week, studying and getting ready for a message I've got to preach next week that I never really knew before.
Amen.
What did you learn this week spiritually? Hey, our life is so short. Can we afford to waste a week and not learn and grow?
Amen. Good.
Thirdly,
good.
Now let's review spiritually mature Christians. Number one, put
no confidence
in the flesh.
Yeah.
Number two, spiritually mature Christians continue to learn and grow throughout their Christian life. Thirdly, spiritually mature Christians are always pressing forward in the will of God for their lives. Spiritually mature Christians are always pressing forward in the will of God for their lives. Verse 14, Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now he was in his 60s at this time and about to die. My ministry has been longer than the Apostle Paul's was. I have been preaching longer than Paul preached. Paul's in his 60s and he's about to have his head cut off. But there, as he's in prison, what does he say to us? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Spiritually mature Christians, their desire and their will take second place to God's will and God's desires for their life. Paul didn't say, sitting in that prison cell, that my number one desire is to get out of jail. He said, my number one desire is to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Here I am in prison for the gospel's sake. Now, I'm not going to sit in here and suck my thumb and have a Baptist pity party. He said, I'm going to continue to press toward the prize, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Yep.
Jesus laid down the rule for following him in Luke 9:23. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul did this. Before he got saved, it was his will to persecute Christians and to eradicate Christians and churches from the face of the earth. But he got saved.
Amen.
And there, laying flat on his back out in the desert, Paul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?
Amen.
And the rest of his life, he lived by the what wilt thou have
Amen.
Me to do principle.
That's right.
And here in prison, nearing the end of his life, he's still pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God through Christ Jesus.
Remember what verse was that in chapter Luke?
That's in Luke chapter 9, verse 23.
Amen.
One of the reasons Paul was so blessed and used by God was that early in his Christian life, he forsook his will and his plans and sought the Lord's will and followed God's will the rest of his life.
That's right,
man. By the way, are you having any conflict between what you want and what God wants?
Amen. Go on.
You know, when God called me to preach, the old devil lied to me. He told me I was going to starve to death. He told me nobody would want me.
Yeah.
You're a nobody. And you know, for a while I listened to him. And I believed the devil's lie. And finally it got to the place where I said, I've got to do God's will or he's going to kill me. And on the way home from church, after I'd ran the bus route and taken the kid home, parked the bus and I was driving home. And I'm telling you, the call of God was so heavy on my heart. I said, God, if you'll let me get back to church one more time, I'll surrender. Well, we got back to church that night, and my wife and I were sitting there on the second row on the end. And the preacher preached, and he preached, and he preached, and he preached.
Amen.
Now, I'm sure it wasn't over 30 minutes long, but it seemed like 3 hours because of the burden God had put on my heart and the call of God in my life. And at the invitation time, I got up out of my seat and walked down to the altar and knelt there and said, God, I know you're calling me to preach. I said, but I've got a wife and I've never talked to her about it. She didn't marry a preacher. And God, for me to do this, you've got to touch her heart. Now, no more than got that out of my mouth, then she knelt beside me and put her arm around me and said, honey, I know what you're doing. God's calling you to preach, isn't he? And I said, yes. She said, I want to surrender my life
Amen.
With you.
Amen.
And there, on August 23rd, 1964,
Amen.
We surrendered our life to Christ.
Amen.
Now, I'm simply saying to you, the devil had lied to me.
Yes.
God's treated me far better than this old world has ever treated
Amen,
me.
Brother.
God's treated me far better than businesses and places I worked treated me.
Yep.
Now, I'm simply saying all of this, that God has a will and a purpose for your life
Amen.
Also.
Yep.
Oh, it may not be in full-time ministry. It may be to be a faithful member to your local church.
Yep.
It may be to teach a Sunday school class. I know it's to get involved in world missions and send the gospel around the world. I know it's to be a personal soul winner and a witness here from your church.
Yep.
I know it's to give your tithe and offering for the support of this ministry.
Yep.
And you're struggling with some of that.
Yep.
Well, you're never going to become a spiritually mature Christian until you take that step of faith
Amen.
And obey God.
Amen.
Obey God.
Amen.
And continue to learn and grow and make the will of God the most important
Amen.
Thing in your life.
Amen.
I'm talking about spiritually mature Christians. Fourthly, spiritually mature Christians are constantly looking and living for the soon return of Jesus Christ. Spiritually mature Christians are constantly looking and living for the soon return of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 20 and 21. Paul said, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." Now here Paul is in prison. Paul believed that Jesus was coming again in his lifetime.
Yep.
And by the way, that's the position every one of us ought to have. You say, how do you know Paul was looking? Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4,
yep.
He talks about the dead in Christ, at the coming of Christ, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we,
yep.
which are alive and remain.
Yep.
Paul was thinking he was going to be alive.
Yep.
Now, if we're going to be right with God and spiritually mature, we've got to live looking and believing that Jesus is coming back in our lifetime. Even today. Even today.
Yep.
I've heard believers say some foolish things. For instance, I've heard believers say, I want Christ to delay His coming until after deer season. I've actually heard that. I've heard others say, I don't want Christ to come back until I'm married and come back from my honeymoon.
Okay.
I've heard others say, I don't want Christ to return until after the business deal I'm working on. I've heard others say, I want Christ to come back right now because of the business deals I've made that have gone wrong. I simply say to you this morning, nothing this world offers and nothing I've ever experienced can supersede the glorious coming of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
The apostles lived and looked for Jesus to return in their day, and so should we.
Yep.
Every one of us, if we're right with God, ought to believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. That is, we should believe that He's coming back. Even today He could come back at any moment.
That's right.
Before these services are over.
Amen.
The spiritually mature Christian keeps his hand on the plow and his eyes on Jesus. And he searches the skies looking and listening.
Amen.
For Jesus and the trumpet to sound.
Amen.
No Christian who does not look and long for Jesus will ever be productive and effective for Christ. Because
right.
You'll always put it off.
Yep.
Until tomorrow.
Yep.
Our Hispanic brethren have a little song called Mañana. Later on, tomorrow.
Yep.
They have a little song that says, the window she has broken and the rain is coming in. If someone doesn't fix it, I'll be soaking to my skin. But if we wait a day or two, the rain will go away. And who will need a window on such a sunny day? Mañana, mañana. Oh, we can't take that attitude.
No, sir.
No, Jesus is coming.
Yes, sir.
And the spiritually mature Christian looks, lives, and longs for
Amen.
Jesus to come back.
Amen.
And come back soon. The spiritually mature Christian, like John, can pray and mean it.
Amen.
Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I ask you today, are you ready? Are you ready? Fifthly, the spiritually mature Christian constantly lets the gospel light shine through them. The spiritually mature Christian constantly lets the gospel light shine through them. The Apostle Paul's desire was to know Christ, not so he could be a super Christian and brag about what he knew, but so that he could allow the gospel light to shine into the world that's in darkness and knows him not. You know what your job is as a Christian? Jesus said, let your light shine.
Yep.
Our job, you know what light does? You turn on a light bulb and or a light, and all of a sudden the darkness disappears.
Right.
You turn the light off and the darkness invades the area again. Our job as Christians is to push back the darkness by letting our light shine. A missionary goes to a foreign country, and you know what their job is? To let their light shine and push back the darkness. And as we let our light shine, it's not just through our living, but by our living and through our witnessing, through our testimony, through giving out the gospel. People, the gospel light makes it possible for unsaved people suddenly to be able to say, I see.
Yeah.
I see. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
Witnessing, soul winning, giving out the gospel, taking someone through the Roman road of salvation. I've heard them say, I see it.
Yep.
You know what I did? I pushed back the darkness.
Amen.
So they could see. And that's our job. Jesus calls it bearing fruit. John chapter 15, 1 through 16 is about bearing fruit.
Yep.
And that's what we're to do.
Amen.
We're to bear fruit. Spiritually mature Christians bear fruit. You plant a peach tree, you know what it's going to do? Produce fruit.
Amen.
An apple tree, produce apples. Hey, you plug in a light bulb. What do you expect it to do?
Light up.
Shine.
Amen.
Now, if it doesn't shine, you don't unscrew it and say, well, the glass is still good and the little metal end of it's good, so I'm going to save it. No, you throw it away because it's worthless if it don't shine. Christians are worthless when they don't shine. And fruit trees are worthless when they don't produce fruit. In John 15, he's talking about a grapevine. Nobody plants a grapevine for shade. Nobody plants a grapevine for the flowers. Have you ever seen a grape bouquet of flowers?
No.
You know what you plant grapevines for? Grapes. Grapes. And Jesus left us here to bear fruit. Babies don't bear fruit.
Nope.
Babies don't have little babies.
Nope.
We've got to reach that age of physical maturity in order to reproduce. Spiritually, we've got to reach that age of spiritual maturity before we reproduce. Now, I know some Christians that are 10 and 11 and 12 years old that are winning people to Christ.
Amen.
Because they're more spiritually mature than some adults I know who never win anyone to Christ. Spiritually mature Christians are always letting their light shine, pushing back the darkness, and producing fruit. Now by these five things, comparing yourself to the Word of God, where are you in spiritual growth? Spiritually mature Christians have learned to put no confidence in the flesh. Spiritually mature Christians are continuously learning and growing in their Christian life. Spiritually mature Christians are always pressing forward in the will of God for their lives. Spiritually mature Christians are constantly looking and living for the soon return of Jesus. And spiritually mature Christians constantly let the gospel light shine through them, pushing back the darkness and producing fruit for Christ's sake. Father, that's our lesson this morning. May you use it to help us. Help us to determine that we're going to learn and grow. We're not going to stay where we are in our Christian growth, but we want to grow beyond where we are. Some in this church are brand new babes in Christ. And it's not wrong to be a babe in Christ if we've been saved a short period of time. But Lord, we need to grow to the next level and the next level and the next level until we're spiritually mature. And then we continue to learn and grow throughout our life as we pursue your will for each of us. Help us to do so, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.